Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I will recap round two of the NBA draft, and also I'll give you a little insight as to the Knicks and why they did what they did, so at least from my perspective. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, folks, so let's polish off this second round of the NBA draft. My previous episode, we did the first round already, so let's do the second. So, all right, so we are going to start with the 31st pick in the second round, and that pick went to Indiana, and that ended up being Andrew Nembhard, point guard for Gonzaga. He's 6'4", 195 pounds, reminiscent of a Austin Reeves, who's with the Lakers. He's a floor general. He has athleticism, but he's short on speed, so not the quickest of guys, but a guy who can run an offense, so Indiana getting that sort of guy there. Again, in the second round, you just want guys who's going to fill out your bench. Sometimes you'll get players that pop. I'll mention a few that I think could do that. But Nembhard, more likely than not, there'll be no need for him to get an opportunity when you got Tyrese Haliburton there. So Nembhard going to the Pacers. Next up is Orlando. Orlando goes and picks Kalib Houston of the Michigan Wolverines, a small forward, 6'8", 205 pounds. He's more like a Darius Miller, so more like a sort of cerebral player. He's not going to play outside of himself, and then, you know, you just fortify that bench over there with the Magic, bringing in a forward like that. And remember, still, you don't know what you're getting out of Jonathan Isaac. He's supposed to come back healthy, so you have him there. So you bring in a Houston, don't have to worry too much in that regard. So Houston's a good pick, good enough pick when you're talking about second round. Also, of course, you got Franz Wagner. Terrence Ross is still there. Still got Iggy there. Iggy Bratdelskis, a guy who was a former Knick. So you have him there as well. So Houston, you know, he, again, a bench guy. You hope he give you something solid there. So, and then next up is Toronto with the 33rd pick, Toronto Raptors. And of course, Toronto Raptors, what do? They go for a big man. Christian Colico, the power forward from Arizona. He's 7 feet tall, 222 pounds. He favors a festive Azili, who we know of Golden State fame, a center who can fill in a pinch. He's a guy who's, you know, he'll hit the boards. Skill for his position, skilled at the center position, so somebody like that. So, Toronto just adding to their plethora of big men. You got a Pascal Siakam there. You got a variation of guys there who can play that power forward position, center position. Chris Boucher, he's another one. Precious Achiuwa. Toronto have these guys in abundance. So, does this mean one of them will be on the move? Who knows? Colico, he is picked by Toronto. They had the 34th pick for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They got a few picks in this draft, nonetheless. Add in another piece. Jalen Williams, center out of Arkansas, 6'10", 235 pounds. He favors more of a Bobby Portis type, so he's going to be a grinder. He's going to, he could actually stretch the floor. He could go out and maybe go out from three and hit from out there. So, definitely another young piece, of course, with the Thunder, who has a cavalcade of that, starting with who they started off in the draft with, and that was Chet Holmgren. So, just another piece there for them to add more young talent, as always. So, then we go to the 35th pick, who was Orlando's pick, but they actually traded it to the Lakers because the Lakers had no pick in this draft. And they used this pick on Matt Christie, a shooting guard out of Michigan State. He's 6'5", 190. He's kind of like a Kevin Martin, if you guys know this reference. Kevin Martin was a guy who can come in. He can give you buckets in a hurry. Needs to develop more. He's a willing defender, which is always a good thing at the next level. So where he fits in with the Lakers, and you know, Lakers always have championship aspirations, so we'll see. They hit a home run last year with Austin Reeves, so maybe they got another one in the making with Christie here. So that was the Lakers pick at 36. This one actually belonged to Portland, but was dealt to Detroit. So Detroit also stockpiling picks in this draft. And they go overseas. They get Gabriel Procida, a shooting guard out of Italy. He's 6'7", 195 pounds. A shooter. He can fill it up from long range. Kind of like a Bogdan Bogdanovic. So definitely Detroit, who doesn't really have much of that outside of perhaps Kelly Olynyk, a guy who can kind of step behind the three line and knock down a few of those. So will he find a place on this squad? Well, you have to see, is he going to come from overseas and come over to the Pistons? Not too sure of that. So, he could be a draft and stash. So, there's always that possibility as well. So, moving to the 37th pick, Sacramento Kings. They pick Jaden Hardy. So, a shooting guard. G League from G League Ignite, 6'4", 200 pounds. He favors a Buddy Hield, a guy who can light it up from downtown, shooter. So they definitely had experience with players like this, being that Buddy Hield used to be a Sacramento King. So so definitely there is opportunity there as well in Sacramento. They do have Justin Holiday, Dante DiVincenzo. They still have him. So you got some guys there, Jeremy Lamb. So there's a few guys there that, you know, he could sit behind. But there is some promise here. So Hardy definitely gives them that. So, again, no need to come in and, you know, light things up. But him along with Keegan Murray, definitely two valuable pieces for the Sacramento Kings. So then the 38th pick belonging to the San Antonio Spurs. Remember, they had three picks in the first round. Add another one to it. Kennedy Chandler, a point guard out of Tennessee. Only 6'1", 170 pounds. He favors a Mario Chalmers. So he's going to be a gamer. A guy who can, you know, manage an offense. He's smallish at being 6'1". Needs to get stronger. Only 170 pounds. So, but he can, he could definitely get his offense, that's for sure. So, yeah, so again, you know, with the Spurs, they're just stockpiling young pieces as well. See if Popovich can coach him up. And, of course, given that DeJounte Murray is there, we'll see what happens with him in the offseason. There's been a lot of rumblings that he could be on the move. So, bear that in mind. So, so Chandler going to a situation that might work out for him in San Antonio. Then at the 39th pick, Cleveland, they go and grab them a center, Khalifa Diop, a center who's playing overseas in Spain, 7 feet tall, 250 pounds. He's sort of like a poor man's Jakob Poulter, the center that's with the San Antonio Spurs. So he's a project. He has good work ethic. He's mobile and could probably end up being a backup, the NBA backup. So provided he come, you know, whether he comes overseas now or later, this will give you a solid center behind Jared Allen if he develops over time. So and you got Jared Allen there for the next 4 years. He signed that 5-year deal. So yeah, so you know, this could be another stash pick that could bear fruit down the road. So at pick number 40, you have Minnesota Timberwolves, and they were very active in the first round. They pick up Bryce McGowan's, a shooting guard from Nebraska. He's 6'6", 180. And he favors, actually, a Spencer Dinwiddie of Dallas. So, Spencer Dinwiddie, we know, have great athleticism, can score. So, McGowan's has high potential here. Needs to get a little stronger as well. He's only 180 pounds at 6'6", so needs to get stronger. But, you know, project no less. But Minnesota, you know, they got plenty of talent at the swingman position, from Anthony Edwards to Malik Beasley. So, you know, they got some guys there. So, again, when you're picking this low, you're looking for a guy who can maybe blossom down the road. So McGowan can do that. So moving on to pick 41 in the second round, New Orleans Pelicans, and they pick E.J. Lytle from Ohio State, a power forward, only 6'7", 245 pounds. So he favors more of a Eric Paschall. Eric Paschall, he's an undersized four in the league who, you know, who gets bang for his buck as far as ability. He's a two-way player, a solid rebounder, a little foul prone, so he has to learn the NBA game and, you know, how to limit his fouls and so forth. So, but for the Pelicans, of course, a guy who, you know, will languish on the bench. You got Zion Williamson there, so no need for him to come in and set things ablaze. So as long as you got him there, you should be in good shape. But again, he doesn't have to come in. He doesn't have to, you know. You still have a Jackson Hayes there as well. Just a guy who, you know, he'll be a bench piece. He'll get some run in the summer league and see what you have there. In the 42nd round, Knicks finally draft someone, and they draft Trevor Keels, a guard from Duke. He's 6'4", 225 pounds, so he's solidly built. He reminds you of a Lou Dort, or even more so, a poor man's Desmond Bane. He favors him as well. Physical guard. He can score on all three levels. He can run an offense as well in a pinch. So, definitely a developmental guy. More likely than not, you'll see him in the summer league. Him along with a Deuce McBride, a Quentin Grimes, as well as a Jericho Sims in the summer league. So, it'll be interesting to see how he's used in the summer league. So, but again, you know, the Knicks didn't want to pay a first round price. You know, they're gathering all this cap space. Hopefully, well, it's reported they're possibly making a run at Jalen Brunson of Dallas, being that he's going to be a free agent. So, but again, I'll address that later after I go through all the picks here. Anyhow, so let's move on. The LA Clippers haven't called their name. They have a pick in the second round here, and they use it on Moussa Diaby. So, I don't know what happened with this phone here, but yeah, so he's a power forward slash center coming out of Michigan, 6'10", 110 pounds. He favors a Clint Capela. Remember Clint Capela? He was also a second round pick, so high energy guy, plenty of upside. He must improve his skill level though at the next level. So he's a guy who, listen, the Clippers definitely have a need for a big. So definitely can use a guy like him, because right now, in terms of your depth, you have a guy like Marcus Morris, who can play either. He could play either position at the forward. You also have Isaiah Hartenstein. You have him as well there. He's a big that they have. Also, too, let us not forget Zubac. Zubac is there as well. Ivaka Zubac, he's there. Of course, Paul George, he can play a power forward position in a pinch. Remember, you're getting back Kawhi Leonard as well. So, yeah, so there, you know, there might be a place for him within this team, as far as, you know, a bench guy who can come and fill in. So, if he can accelerate his development here, he definitely has a place on this squad and will probably get rotation minutes as well. So, I think this is a good pick for Clippers. He's a guy who could possibly pop here. So, along with probably Trevor Keels, I think he has a chance to give the Knicks something that they don't have as well. If he's used, of course, we know about Tibbs, the coach. So let's go to the 44th pick. And originally with Atlanta, but this one is going to Golden State. And Golden State is using this on Ryan Rollins. He's a guard coming out of Toledo, 6'3", 180 pounds. He favors a Anthony Simmons, which we saw him produce in the absence of Dame Lillard in Portland. And also Derek White, who we saw plenty of in the playoffs, especially in these finals against the Golden State Warriors for the Celtics. So he's a scorer first, passer second. He's a sleeper. In fact, he was touted to go towards the end of the first round, early second round. So getting him here is a value pick. Needs improvement from three, though. But hey, he's going to the right place. Steve Kerr, it seems like he has a way of getting maximum play out of these guards, whether it be a Jordan Poole, whether it be a Gary Payton III. So Ryan Rollins has an opportunity here. I understand they still have a Moses Moody as well, who they didn't really play last season. So Ryan Rollins, some insurance just in case you lose a guy here and there. So at the 45th pick, the Charlotte Hornets, still looking for size, a bit of size, goes for Josh Minot. He's a power forward out of Memphis, 6'8", 205 pounds. He favors more of a Darius Bazley, also a Rondé Hollis Jefferson type. He's a rim attacker. He can get you a bunch of offensive rebounds. He has no consistent jump shot as of now. But he does have upside. So, again, Charlotte, who kind of needs some bigs over there. Of course, you know, in the first round, they got themselves Mark Williams. And also, too, you have a P.J. Washington over there. Montrezl Harrell is a free agent, so you don't know if you're going to get him back. So, and also, you do have McDaniels as well over there. I want to say Jaden McDaniels, because remember that he and his brother play in the NBA now. So, that's going to be Jalen. I'm sorry, Jaden is in Minnesota, so is Jalen McDaniels. So you got another big there. So you know, you're adding some depth to your front court, especially amongst your bigs. So again, needs a consistent jump shot, but he does have some upside, so he could stick and stay over there. At the 46th pick, the Detroit Pistons actually moved this pick to Denver. So Denver's making the pick, and Denver goes the international route, getting Ismail Kamagate. He's a center out of France, 6'11", 230 pounds. He reminds you of a Ian Mahimi, the center for the Indiana Pacers. Also, too, to a lesser extent, Clint Capella. It seemed like I've been mentioning his name a lot in these comparisons here. He's a stash pick, needs to get more physical. He does have shot blocking and passing upside for a big man. So, but again, for Denver, this is probably a stash. You already got your MVP over there, Nikola Jokic, the Joker there. So, yeah, so this is a guy who can possibly stay overseas for a little while until you're ready to bring him over. So then we go to the 47th pick. Memphis again on the clock. Memphis selecting Vince Williams Jr. He's out of VCU, a small forward, 6'6", 205 pounds. And he's reminiscent of a player they already have in Desmond Bane. So also has a Andrew Wiggins type game, but he's a better shooter. He's a 3-and-D guy. He's a two-way player, obviously. Not as explosive, and he lacks some speed. But the kid is NBA ready, so this is a guy who, you know, perhaps you lose a Dylan Brooks somewhere down the line. You got this kid here. So I think this is a sneaky good pick for the Memphis Grizzlies here. So he's a guy who can pop down the road. So I'll be excited to see what he can do. Then at the 48th pick, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they take a Kendall Brown, a small forward. Oh, I'm sorry. This pick goes to Indiana. My apologies there. So Indiana's actually making this pick. And they take a Kendall Brown, small forward out of Baylor, 6'8", 205 pounds. He reminds you of a kind of a Derrick Jones, really. He's very raw, very explosive. He has big upside, and he could defend multiple positions. So he's a guy who, and then remember that Indiana kind of has a need at the small forward position. Remember TJ Warren, he didn't play last season, so not sure what you're going to get out of him going forward. They could possibly, right now they're using a three-guard alignment with Brogdon, Hill, and Haliburton. But that could change. Maybe you slide a Chris Duarte to the small forward. But definitely there's a need there. That's for sure. There's a need. So this kid could get some rotation time. And, you know, depending on his development. So he's a guy who could bear fruit down the road, guys. So so that's pick 48. At 49, Sacramento's supposed to make this pick here, but it actually goes to Cleveland. They made a deal here. And interesting enough, at the 49th pick, they pick Isaiah Mobley. That name should sound familiar because that's Evan Mobley's older brother. He's a power forward out of USC, 6'10", 240. He kind of reminds you of a Davis Bertans. He has stretch four ability, but he lacks speed. So not tremendous speed at his position, but he can step out and knock it down from three in long distance. So I think this is a brilliant pick by Cleveland this late in the draft. You bring in a guy who can motivate Evan Mobley even further. Mind you, he had a near Rookie of the Year campaign. So bringing in his brother is a stroke of genius. So familiarity, there's something to be said about that. So I think this was a shrewd move by Cleveland. What he pans out to be, not too sure of that, but there is opportunity over there. You already have Kevin Love. Not sure if he'll remain there or not. He could be on the move. So it definitely will be opportunity for him there if things open up. So shrewd pick by the Cleveland Cavs. Let us move on to the 50th pick. Minnesota, they pick here. And they look out overseas and take Matteo Spagnuolo, a point guard out of Italy, 6'5", 180 pounds. He favors Austin Reeves type, of course. And then, much like the kid the Knicks drafted last season, who's still overseas, Rokas Joku Baltis. He's like a floor general. He's fast, but not quick. And this is like a stash pick, guys. So he's a guy you could stash overseas, much like what the Knicks are doing with Rokas. There's a chance that Rokas comes back over for summer league. We'll see. But this is a guy. Maybe you could kind of, kind of let him get some summer league run. And then he goes back overseas. But a nice, smart pick by the Timberwolves who, you know, they have needs and so forth. But, you know, at this point in the draft, you're looking for high potential. So he definitely has that. So I think it's a pretty good move considering where they are in the draft. So. And then you have at 51st pick, it's supposed to be Golden State's pick, but this one is heading actually to Atlanta. And Atlanta gets Tyrese Martin, a small forward out of UConn, 6'6", 215 pounds. To me, he's a taller Damian Dotson type. We know him of Knicks fame, and then he's bounced around a little bit. He had a strong combine. He's a 3-and-D guy, a utility player. He can play the 2 and the 3. So, Tyrese Martin for Atlanta. Hey, it can't hurt in Atlanta. You definitely, they also picked a swingman in the prior round as well. So, Tyrese Martin. Well, you know, he's there. He could get in the rotation somehow, some way. Maybe some deals are swung. We'll see. Because Atlanta right now, I think they're thinking of moving John Collins. So if you do that, maybe somebody gets packaged along with that, which will open up an opportunity for Martin. So, but another one. Where it's a work in progress, of course. This late in the draft, that's the route you go. So, so could bear fruit down the road. At the 52nd pick, New Orleans Pelicans back on the clock. They take Carlo Matkovic. He's a power forward, also with Serbia. So, he was a teammate of Nikolai Jovic, who Miami took. He's 6'11", 225 pounds. He reminds you of a Drew Eubanks, the big man out of Portland, who ended up playing down the stretch because Nurkic got hurt. Explosive. He has a natural shooting stroke, and he's a high-energy guy. So whether he comes over or not, we'll see. But at this point in the draft, this type of pick, smart pick by David Griffin over there with the Pelicans. So Matkovic selected by the Pelicans. 53rd pick, Boston actually making a pick here. And Boston takes J.D. Davison, point guard out of Alabama, 6'2", 190 pounds. Reminds you a lot of Dennis Smith Jr. because he has great hops. He's a slasher, a passer as well, but he needs to develop an outside shot, much like Dennis Smith Jr. So he's a guy. Right now they have Marcus Smart over there, a Peyton Pritchard. So he's a guy. Hey, you maybe you'll develop the guy and see what you got there. So. At this point in the round, you're looking for players with upside, as I've been saying. So, Davidson has that. Just about five more picks to go, guys. The Washington Wizards, they look overseas as well. Take Yannick Noza, a center out of Spain, 6'11", 215 pounds. To me, the comparison I say, he has Nick Claxton for the Nets. He has that type of ability there. He's agile for his size, a rim protector, but he's very limited, much like Claxton. So he's a guy who you probably want to keep overseas, let him develop and so forth. So, and right now in Washington, you already have a Kristaps Porzingis there. You have a Thomas Bryant coming off of his injury still. And also you have Daniel Gafford as well. So so you have some big men over there already. So Daniel Gafford. So you have some bigs there already. So just stash them overseas and see what's what there. So at the 55th pick, Golden State again picking. And they go overseas this time. Gui Santos, a small forward out of Brazil, 6'8", 210 pounds. Reminds you of a Cam Reddish. He has 3-and-D ability. He's a rim attacker. Also, he's fluid. He has versatility to his game. But he's a project, so... a draft and stash guy probably at this point. There's no need for him right now, especially Golden State just being crowned its champions. So he's a guy you could keep overseas for the moment. At the 56th pick, Cleveland, on the clock again, take Luke Travers, shooting guard out of Australia. He's 6'8". 199 pounds, so he reminds you a lot of Atlanta's Kevin Huerter, and even kind of like a Rodney Hood type. Great size and length. He has a slight frame, being that he's 6'8 and barely just under 200 pounds. He has a quirky shooting rhythm, so. That you'll probably need to tweak a bit. But another stash pick, of course, Cleveland, who, you know, I talked about them in the first round. They're a team on the way up. So I think at this point in the draft, you do a draft and stash and you see what happens down the road. So at the 57th pick, Portland takes Jabari Walker, power forward out of Colorado, 6'8", 200 pounds. And he is actually the son of Samaki Walker, who had himself an NBA career as well. And he reminds you of a Jonas Jericho. So he reminds you of that. And also O'Shea Brissett out of Indiana with the Pacers. So he's a tweener type forward. He could probably play both forward positions. Too slow to be a small forward and not enough strength to play the power. He can't stretch the floor, so he has that bit of advantage there. But Portland at this point, probably some depth for your bench. You see what happens down the road. But right now they're in a win now mode, trying to get some help for Dame Lillard there, which they did in getting Jeremy Grant. I talked about that as well. So, and then the last pick of the draft, because mind you, two teams that picked in this draft had to forfeit their picks because of tampering. So you only have 58 picks. And the last pick goes to the Indiana Pacers, who draft themselves a kid overseas, Hugo Bessin, a point guard out of Australia, 6'5", 196 pounds. He reminds you of a Nando DeCola type of point guard. He's a shot maker, not a lot of speed, and he'll probably struggle on defense. So you keep him overseas, you see what happens, so, and you call it a day, so. All right, guys, so that is your breakdown of the second round. Now, I promise to you that I was going to talk about the Knicks and what they did. So, So it boils down to this. The Knicks weren't enamored with this draft. Let us be clear. Well, down the stretch for the Knicks, they, Tom Thibodeau ended up playing a lot of the kids. Manuel Quickley saw some substantial playing time and played well. Obi Toppin played well, while Julius Randle sat like the last five games or so down the stretch. So the kids showed up and they showed out. And they got some wins along the way down the road. Probably some wins, you know. Do you trade those wins for the development of these guys, or you just keep losing to move higher and higher up in the draft? I say the former. It's better you win those games. This way these kids get a taste of winning, a taste of competing. Sure, you know, some teams may have folded their tents already. Some still had a playoff aspirations, but it's good for these kids to get out there and produce. So, you know, I'm definitely in favor of that. You know, the draft is the draft. You know, you know, it's the lottery. You end up slotted where you're slotted. If it's, you're meant to go higher, you go higher. Would a few losses help? Sure it would. But I think the development of these kids must take precedence over your draft position. And what was a weak draft, let's be clear. This was a weak draft. So, as I was saying to a buddy of mine, D, if you look all up and down this draft, there's no major needle movers in this draft. So these are guys that are going to come in and be solid. This was not 2021 draft where you had some solid players coming in, contributing right away. So I don't think you're going to have that here. So, you'll have one or two guys that kind of stand out, but I don't think it's going to be like that, like last year's. So with that said, the Knicks weren't enamored with where they were picking, so they dealt the pick. They didn't deal down. They just bowed out. And again, I think it was more so they could dedicate that money towards bringing in a free agent. Again, all signs are pointing towards Jalen Brunson. I'm not 100% sold. I understand. I get it. His father was brought in as an assistant coach. The president of operations was his former agent. So everything is lining up to say he's coming here. But my only question is, what will the cost be? Will it be a four-year, $100 million deal like everybody is saying? That's insane to give Jalen Brunson that kind of money off of what he did last year. He was playing next to a mercurial player in Luka Doncic. The Knicks don't have that. I'm a Knicks fan up and down, but we don't have a Luka Doncic on our roster. We don't. So it's easy for a kid like that to shine. Sure, he stepped up for him when Doncic had the ankle injuries bothering him, and also he dealt with COVID as well. So Jalen Brunson's a smallish guard. He's only about 6'2", probably 6'1". So there's that as well. So are you going? I thought, as the season was going on, that maybe perhaps you turn the keys to the offense over to Emmanuel Quickley. So if you bring in a Brunson, what are you going to end up with, Brunson and Quickley starting? Then where does that leave Evan Fournier? I hear rumors now that the Knicks are trying to deal him back to Boston. I don't know what that's going to cost them, but I'm just trying to understand how this Brunson thing is going to work. If you already saw Quickley running the show at the point last season. So should you have a guard that's right behind Quickley who can come in and, you know, give you production right away? Absolutely. You still have Deuce McBride on this roster. I think they're aiming very high. I had mentioned this too at one point, that that they should go more so for a type like Anthony Simmons. He's gonna have to be offered something over there in Portland. Does Portland acquiesce to that? You don't know. Can he run the point guard position full time? He did it while Dame was gone. He didn't give you a ton of assists, but coming here, he have to be definitely an assist guy who can come in and, you know, make shots and so forth. I think the Knicks probably are more in line to get maybe a Tyus Jones. I know a lot of people going to sigh when they hear that. He's a guy who play right underneath Ja Morant in Memphis. He's a guy who can come in and start in a pinch if, you know, something were to happen to him quickly and so forth. I'm not sure where Deuce is in his development. I love to see how he looks in summer league. So, and then Derrick Rose, we don't know what, you know. I think he's coming back here. I think. So, we'll see. So, I did want to talk about the picks that the Knicks had. Because initially they got, here's how it broke down, what they got from OKC. 2023 first rounder from Denver, that's protected 1 through 18, and that's through 2024. And then in 2025, it's 1 through 13, 2026, 1 through 11, and then in 2027, 1 through 9. So this is a pick where, you know, it may not convey initially in probably the first 2 years. I don't see Denver jumping up like that. So maybe it'll convey in 2025. Definitely 2026, I can see that. Then you have the second first rounder. That's for 2023, a first rounder from Washington. That's protected 1 through 14. So all depends on what Washington ends up doing. If Bradley Beal walks, I don't like the chances of that pick coming to fruition. And then in 2024, it's 1 through 12. 2025, 1 through 10. And then in 2026, 1 through 8. And then you have the third pick they got from them, which is coming from Denver. They actually dealt that to Detroit. Detroit it's either they dealt it to Detroit or Charlotte. One of those teams are getting that. And actually, they got in return a 2025 pick that belongs to Milwaukee. I don't think it's protected from what I understand. It might be, but that pick could probably convey. I think it's like a 1 through 18 as well. And Milwaukee will be amongst the leaders, I think, by 2025. So that's one that could work out in the Knicks' favor. So the Knicks, in a nutshell, in moving out of the 11th pick, they pick up 3 first rounders. So now in the next 2 drafts, I think they have a total of 7 first rounders. Again, the draft capital these days has value if you use it right. So You can always use this to swing a deal for, you know, a star as everybody clamors for. Or you can just use it on a player. So, depending on the draft, from early rumblings I'm hearing, next year's draft should be stronger than this past one. So, keep that in mind, guys. So, you know, people are slamming it. You got the Stephen A. Smiths of the world holding his head on national TV. Him and Spike Lee praying together. And I'm like, y'all don't understand the business of the NBA. The Knicks weren't enamored with what was in this draft. So they did the wise thing. Instead of making a pick that they know may not even get playing time with Tibbs around, they shored up, got themselves some additional picks. And I'm with Kendrick Perkins on this one. They owe the Knicks organization an apology because they don't understand what's going on. And, you know, a retort to that would be that's because Leon Rose hasn't talked to the media in nearly a year. So he puts out these statements and so forth. But he only had to sit down with Mike Breen towards the end of the year. So everybody said that was a softball interview because, you know, it was a MSG guy asking them the questions. So say with that what you will, at least you found out more in that than you did prior to that. So with that said, I think they're on the right path. I think they're doing the wise thing, not bringing in a guy just to bring him in. You already got guys who's barely getting time now because of the vets. So you're doing the wise and smart thing here. And I think down the road, this can prove to be something that works out in the Knicks' favor for a change. So I'm just going to leave it right where it is. You know, it's easy to slam the team, say, oh, they're not doing nothing, this and that. But there seems to be a semblance of a plan. And that's not to overpay for guys, which is why I don't understand the Brunson stuff, but to bring in guys on sensible contracts and try to maximize what you have and definitely give these young guys some time. So we'll see what happens there. All right, guys, so I'm done in that regard. So I did want to talk about the WNBA. I'll probably do that soon. That'll probably be a broadcast coming up, but I do want to break down the NBA finals, which I will do shortly. So, all right, guys, that's it for me. And of course, thank you for listening as always, and be safe out there. Take care. So my peeps, if you like what you're listening to, you can go to my website, www.allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. You can also email me at thatsportsdudegd@gmail.com. To support this podcast, you can go to my PayPal, and that email is thatsportsdudegd@gmail.com. Also on my Anchor page, I have a support button there that you can also use to help the podcast. I'm on all the major platforms like Anchor, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Amazon, SoundCloud, YouTube, CastBox, Radio Public, Podchaser, just to name a few. And also, you can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, and Fanbase. So, once again, I thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. And take care and be safe.